Welcome to episode 101 of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Planetverse. I am your co-host, Karina Tovmasyan, and with me is the illustrious Steve Morton. Hello, Steve.
Hello, and welcome.
Steve has decided to deck out his Skype background, and as he's picked from a multitude of options, right now he sat in the topmost elite IKEA background I've ever seen. He's got a complete spread set up. There's tea prepared, there's little sandwiches with the corners cut off and crusts cut off, and he's got a ficus tree staring at me. And I think we had about 20 minutes of a good chin wag here talking about the different backgrounds we could change in our lives during this very interesting time that we're living in the world, Steve.
Nothing to do with the podcast, of course.
Nothing at all to do with the podcast. Actually, it has something to do with the podcast. Today's podcast, for those of you out there in the Planetverse listening in, is called The Mighty Little Checklist, The Unsung Hero of Success. And Steve and I are both a big fan of the checklist, and I thought this was an appropriate topic to pick after I saw Matt Davila's YouTube video focusing on the wonders of the checklist. And I said, let's take a look at that, and let's see if we can put our own planerology and philofaxy spin on what we would do with checklists and what's the purpose. I mean, it just seems so simplistic, Steve. It seems almost infantile to say, hey, I'm going to go to the grocery store. Should I write a list? And you think to yourself, self, you don't need a list. You've been to the grocery store thousands of times. You know what they have at the grocery store. This is baby stuff. Anyone could do it. Get in car, go to store, put things in trolley, and check out, right? You're done. Sure enough, you're not done. You get home or halfway home, and you realize, oh, I forgot to. Dun, dun, dun. Steve's nodding away here. So,
famous last words that you always will remember when you get there. No.
You don't. And that's the thing. I think that's a scam that our brain plays with us. Don't you, Steve? Like, it convinces us that we could handle it and then we can't.
We always have a sort of stack of blank sheets of paper next to our microwave. And that's where the shopping list gets created. It's a bit scrappy, but it works. We could go a bit more upmarket than a scrappy bit of paper, but you have to have a list. It doesn't matter what form it takes.
It seems absolutely fundamental to the level of success that you want to have in life, to me, it seems. Mm. And it's also one of those things where you look at it and you could scoff at it and go, psh, I don't need that. It's just a list, just, J-U-S-T, right? Just a list. But then, oh my goodness, I don't know what it is with our brains, but there's something in our brains that creates a false sense of confidence that we can handle the information that's been requested of us to remember. And I remember hearing somebody said once that our brain is not meant, or I think it was in the video actually, somebody said, one of the guys that was being interviewed said, our brain is a very bad office. So, and this reminded me of David Allen's, our brain is meant to have ideas, not store them. But there's this underlying curtain of, I can do this, don't worry, I've got this, hold my beer, right? I can remember the next 10 things that come at me, no problem. And I think both Steve and I love, we have some common interests that we're both passionate about. And one of them happens to be space travel and the space agencies. And one of the loveliest things I remember is that interview with Buzz Aldrin, where they asked him, how did you feel when you landed on the moon? And what were you thinking? And He simply responded, "I wasn't thinking. We were going off of a checklist. We'd never done this before. We were simply going off of step 47, step 48, step 49, right?" There was no emotional aspect to it. And I kind of like that, but I wanted to make this episode something that all of us in the Plannerverse can relate to, which is, what's the point of the checklist besides ticking off the boxes? And I wanted to get Steve's impression on this, and we could have a little nice chat in our safe little homes about, what's the point of the checklist besides ticking the boxes? Are we simply ticking the boxes so that we say we've completed something for the day? Or are we ticking the boxes with a bigger picture of context and processes that we've set up in our lives? And I'm going to defer to my colleague here to see if I can get his input on the distinction that he makes, if he does, between a checklist that he's got to go to the grocery store and a checklist that he's got for the podcast. Is there a distinction for you between those two?
Yeah, well, apart from the content.
Right.
Yes, well, because
yes, Steve, thank you.
One
that.
Is a sort of a more formal thing. One is just a memory jogger, isn't it? Because, you know, going to the store for things, you just want to make sure you remember everything, because it's an absolute pain, as you know, to go all the way back again or miss something out. And it becomes not... It doesn't stop you wandering around and having a browse around at other things that aren't on your list. Don't feel that you should restrict yourself to only going to get things that are on your list and only on the list. Although that's a great way of budgeting, of course. But it certainly a checklist that's written in a particular order of actually executing the thing, of course, like Mr. Aldrin and co, helps, you know, if it's been thought through well in advance, that will help from the point of view of making sure that the things that are then dependent on each other.
Correct.
You're then doing them in the correct order, because otherwise the dependencies on one thing is out of order, and therefore you just suddenly come to a halt because you've done it in the wrong order.
And a good example of that is, let's say you've made a checklist for packing for holidays, right? And you've got yourself a swimsuit on that checklist, but you haven't called ahead to see if there's a swimming pool at where you're staying. So great, you've succeeded at packing what you think you need, but there you have to also follow through on the internal conversation that then happens. And I think this is the step that I would like us to focus on for this conversation, Steve, is the processes that we're creating for our lives that allow us to succeed. Because, again, we were talking about this offline earlier. If we set a goal, goals are great, right? You want to be successful. You want to lose weight. You want to, get to the next step of the mountain. Fine. You've got there. But what does that mean overall for the big picture of your life? Is the process that you're setting up something that allows you to perpetually repeat the process of success? And I think that's where we need to take our checklist levels to, Steve. You and I need to up our checklist game. And
I was thinking more along the lines of sort of like smart checklists. You know, we all have things like packing lists and various things like that.
But right.
You can go one step further with them and bring in things where it becomes a sort of a more of a not intelligent, that's the wrong word really, but what I was thinking along the lines of was, say, a shopping list, but instead of it just being a random sort of shopping list, you create a checklist that you can reuse that has the items in the same order as the aisles in the store, for instance. So you, when you go in, let's say you come to the vegetable and fruit and veg section. So that's where on the list you've got all your normal sort of fruit and veg items.
Right.
And then you might go on to dairy items, and then it might be bread and so on as you go around the store. But it means that when you're in the store itself, you're going through the items that you've ticked off at home in the same order that they are in the store. Now, okay, there's going to be a lot of blank spaces if you do that. We used to have a list like that, which took a while to set up, and you get to do a few odd looks when you're going around the store, writing a lot of things down, of course, and doing the initial thing. But in fact, the list we had actually created on WordStar 3.3.
Oh my goodness! That, yeah,
it's that long ago.
yeah. Okay. Well, there was a guy that actually created an OmniFocus list that was reusable, so that every time he checked off an item, because he had his grocery store arranged by aisles, and he had the various grocery stores that he was going to based on cross-reference by price. So if his oranges cost more at store one, he'd actually move them over into store two because that's where they were cheaper. And every time he tapped the bullet for the completion of that item, it would renew and add itself to the next list ready to go again. And so it would look like it was incomplete for the following iteration of that checklist, which I absolutely love. And if I find the link, I'll send it off to Steve so that he can add that. But the idea is that, so it is a not a smart checklist, but it's a checklist that's been created to create greater efficiency for your lifestyle, I suppose, right? The process of shopping for groceries is a great example because it's a chore that's got to get done. But if it can get done in a quicker time and it can get done in a more efficient time without having to spend as much money, then overall, those qualities of life, those areas of life have increased in quality based on the amount of effort, not even based on the amount of effort, on the small effort that you've placed. This is, again, the Pareto principle. This is the 80-20 rule. 20% of the effort that you've made has reaped 80% of discount sales on grocery items for you as a result. But yeah, so that would be a fantastic example. And one of the things I want to look at is, for example, when people say, well, they have a career goal of getting a new job, and that's great. I love it. Have we looked at overall where your process is, where your lifestyle is, and if any of those conditions in the job are actually aligned with the kind of lifestyle that you want to lead? Oftentimes they're not with my clients, and I have to check with them and say, well, you say you want to work at this job because it pays you six figures. That's fantastic, but you do realize the work hours are about 18 to 20 hours a day. So yeah, you're getting paid six figures, but the quality of your life is going to tank. So you want to take in consideration the processes that it takes. Another thing that I considered, and Steve, probably you would know a little bit more about this, but when we started eating healthier, one of the things that I did was create systems of what are the top 10 foods that we absolutely love to eat, and what are the necessary ingredients for those top 10 things. And those were the top 10 things that I would only buy for the next 2-3 weeks. Those are the only things I would refresh in our pantry or refrigerator because I didn't want to focus on anything else. I wanted the process of creating healthy lunches and meals to be seamless. And in order for it, the first few days, it's uncomfortable. You're not sure what you're doing. You're stepping into uncharted territory. But then after that, it starts getting really clear as to what you're doing and it becomes secondhand knowledge. And now you've got a process in place to help you achieve your goal of eating healthier, right? So the goal's been achieved, but then it's ongoing. It doesn't stop, because if you stop, then you stop the goal as well. So you want to make sure that you have those checklists in place. And I think that's where the mighty unsung checklist comes in here.
The thing I was thinking of was where you've got repetitive tasks that you do, say, every week or every month or something like that. That's where a sort of checklist comes into its own, because you're not having to you're not having to think the thing through from scratch every time, are you? You can actually sort of, you know, type the thing out and have it as an insert for your planner or on the wall in the office or wherever. Another example I thought of was I have a pre-prepared packing list for, you know, weekends away, weekend in London or whatever. And I just cross out things that I know that I won't need, sort of thing, but then leave the sheet as a blank sheet for that particular trip. But I thought of taking it one stage further And at the moment, it's sort of ordered in sort of four different sort of contexts or categories. Sort of thing. But I was thinking you could actually list the actual items. So from, say, heaviest to lightest or largest to smallest or something like that.
Right.
And that will then, so when you're actually packing the case, it's in the actual list is then in the order of things that you're actually going to pack. So the first thing would be sort of jeans or trousers or something
right.
like that, because they go in the bottom of the case, and then you sort of build it up until you got to the very top with the small light items at the very top
right.
of the case sort of thing.
And now you've created a process on how to pack, but to pack based on the way that you need to pack, not just the items that go in the suitcase. And so, again, that's just allowed you now to have a process over the quality of life. When I have three packing lists, I have a 3-day, a 5-day, and a 7-day. And for anything over 7 days, it's still a 7-day packing list because those items simply get washed, right? So I keep these in a pages file format on my computer. And when I need a new one, I simply insert the right size paper for my planner and print them out, and I have them ready to go. So there's no having to, oh my God, what am I going to pack? We've removed the cognitive pressure of having to remember things. So that was one of the quotes I remembered from the video, and it absolutely impressed me, because you really have this persistent nagging in your mind when you're trying to remember things of, oh, you've got to remember it and keep remembering. Don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. Did you forget? Don't forget, right? So there's that persistent, that's the cognitive pressure I think they were talking about in Matt Davila's video. And I love it that also in the video, he talks about creating a checklist for checklists, which I'm not, who am I to judge? Because to me, that was very parallel to planner planning, right? We actually have a planner in which we keep the plans for all of our planners. And so there is a process by which we've decided how to design the planner. What goes in it? Is there a table of contents? Is there an index? Is there a front? Is there a beginning? How do you know? How do you know it's complete? I remember Steve used to go to French class, or he used to go to French classes, and he takes his thin Filofax A5, their Heritage, is it? I think. Yeah. And he knows he can just modularize that one, and he knows exactly what he's taking out into that planner. He's created his planner planning, and that's how we can also have a checklist for checklists. You can create a massive, you know, I don't want to say the F word here, but the be-all, end-all checklist for how to create your checklists and create your systems through that. OmniFocus is great. What are some apps? I love the iCal app. It works fine. It's a simplistic app, but it works fine. Do you have, other than writing things down, obviously, because analog is the best way to go, in my opinion. You bring out the color markers and create and design your own checklist of how you think it should look, and you can build it digitally.
The important thing is if you're writing the checklist for yourself, you know how much detail to put into
right.
the thing.
Right.
When you're writing it for someone else to interpret, you have to either assume they will understand your cryptic note or whatever it is, or you have to break the thing down into sort of tiny, tiny steps. And that's the difficult one.
Let me preface this by saying Steve did an undertaking, as Steve does out there in the Plannerverse. You all need to hear this. You've probably heard him mention what he's about to, but this is the only guy I know that takes the time to make a checklist into something obscene like this. So go for it, Steve. Tell us about the checklist for your podcast.
When I actually write out a list of things to do with regards to any podcast episode that you've listened to, that breaks down to basically sort of five tasks. Record it, mix it, do the show notes, publish it, and publicize it. Those two last ones are two slightly different things. Sounds simple enough, takes up five lines in my planner, job done.
We've all figured it out, right?
Fact,
now everybody knows how to do a podcast.
Yeah, so everybody knows how simple it is. But when you then break that one down a little bit further, because recording it, that's got a few steps in the thing. That then expanded, I think, to about 15 points.
Right.
But that wasn't even far enough, really, because I started looking at those individual points, there was an even larger number of things. And I think it broke the actual complete workflow from start to finish. Ended up, and I can't remember if this is complete yet even, it might need revising and expanding even further, but I came up with a list of 110 or more.
Yeah,
more.
I think your total was 115 at the last count.
Yeah.
And I told Steve, I said, if you ever want to discourage someone from recording their own podcast, please go ahead and publish those details. So again, and the reason we bring this up is because checklists can be absolute debilitators in terms of how much you've got to get completed, right? It's an absolute visual nightmare that you're looking at if it's pages and pages long. Or it could be the biggest help in the world, because if it's only 5 steps, then off you go. So you've got to create that balance of what a proper checklist should look like so it's visually not overwhelming.
A great example of where checklists are used, of course, is on any airplane flight.
Yes.
There's a checklist they have before they take off. There's one before they come in to land. And the co-pilot or whoever will run through the thing, and then the other guy will check the actual switches and all the rest of it against the checklist that's being read out, sort of thing. And then they'll also have, you know, if there's an engine failure, there's an engine fail checklist, isn't
correct.
There? They'll call up and look through it. Now, that might be on a laminated sheet or a screen or whatever, you know, modern
right.
sort of... They tend to keep for simple things, because if all of the instruments have gone off, then...
And it doesn't matter if they're seasoned pilots or if they're brand new pilots. They all function off the same checklist. Sometimes the world calls these standardized operating procedures. Sometimes they call them modus operandi. There's various names for these checklists. But the thing is that we have to look at all these senior level people that have accomplished anything in their lives, and they've all used the humble checklist to complete their thought processes. And I really like the fact that you take a look at us from a piece of metal taking off and fighting gravity, going against the laws of physics, and then all the way to somebody just wanting to remember to add an item on their grocery list. It's the same logic. It's the same medium that's being used. There's nothing sexy about it. It's a piece of paper with some ink slung onto it, and you can make it as sexy as you want to or need to.
I did see somewhere a very clever idea of someone who had a set of things that they had to do each week. And what they did is they built the list into the this week marker. So the actual, you know, thin
right.
strip of
the page marker and the planner,
whatever.
Yeah,
page. All the things were written on that, and they just had a little hole cut in the actual marker against each item. So they just, when you laid it on the paper, you just literally put a little squiggle in the thing. You didn't have to write the list. You just took the today marker out and put it into the next.
And you know, I have to mention Joshua Laporte's stamp then, right? So then I'd love that stamp. He was absolutely brilliant for creating it. This guy had his own customized checklist stamp, re-inkable stamp printed over at an Office Depot. I don't know where it was, but he created this. So he just slaps that onto his planner every day and goes through his checklist of making bed, brushing teeth, some basic functions of life, right? And he was like, okay, off I go, feed the cat, and there I go. I don't have to think about it, and I don't have to write this down X number of times. I can just go ahead and stamp as many pages as I want ahead.
One of the points I wanted to go back slightly on is, if you make it an overcomplicated list, like my podcast list, if you're only going to do this once, there's no point in making a list that big. You then have to break it down into sort of manageable chunks, of course. But if it takes you as long to do the task as it does to write the list out, then you're on the losing one.
Very good point. Very good point. Yeah, the task of creating the checklist shouldn't be overwhelming. And if you're spending more time creating the checklist than actually doing what's on the checklist, you've failed checklist 101. You need to go back and start again. It needs to be simple. Yeah.
You know, it's there to help you, not to hinder you, basically, isn't it? It's you end up in the situation of it's driving you rather than the other way around.
Correct. And then ultimately what you can do is, you can create, and once you're complete with your checklist, you can keep them for posterity and be able to develop your own handbook or guidebook for how you've managed various portions of your life.
I've done that with my packing list because I sort of, you know, it's evolved. I had sort of the list into four categories, and I left a lot of blank lines after each one.
Yeah.
And then over a period of time, I found that I was always writing the same items in there. And I've updated the thing. So I only never print more than about four or five at one time, something.
Yeah.
So it's.
I love it. I have an actual tab in my planner for lists. I don't call it checklists, I just call it lists. But it's just pages and pages of various lists. And then if I want, I like the ringed planners for this because this allows you to shuffle them around and move them where they ought to be, or remove and edit and clean up. And bound notebooks don't really give that kind of leniency when it comes to being able to add and detract from what you've completed. I love them. I wish I would do them more often. I think I'm going to fall less into the brain scam of you can do this, you can remember the next 47 things that you've just read and you don't need to write that down, come on, you can do this, Karina. Right, so I think I'm going to urge all of you, if you're thinking about doing a checklist, try a checklist and see where you go and see if you can remove some of that cognitive pressure of having to remember things.
I'm a great believer in lists. You know, our life runs on lists of one description or another.
It's
just makes life easier. But the other failing, if you like, is putting too many different types of things on, say, your list for the week sort of thing. Because if you added up those tasks in that week, there's just, well, you haven't got enough spare time that week to achieve. So sometimes it's best to sort of take out ones that you think you're going to do and maybe space them out over the forthcoming weeks and just keep check on things that way.
Right. And then, or we can go back to the conversation we used to have of contextuality and create those seasonal lists, which only makes sense to do seasonally. And you don't have to think about them at all during the year because you know you've already planned for them. They've been written down and there's either alarms or reminder systems or something that's coming up to tell you that, hey, the next five things on the list are due for life 2020.
That year.
That year that shall not be named.
So I think we've talked ourselves into a corner here somewhere that we've
completed the checklist for this week's episode.
We've ticked that one off.
Yep.
So where can we find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at throatpunchresumes.com, planerology.com, and all over the interwebs making bunny rabbit ears at Steve when he's not looking. Where can we find you, Steve?
You'll find me in the usual place of Mr. Filofaxi on Instagram, filofaxi.com, travellersnotebooktimes.com. And don't forget, folks, don't forget to take a look at our Patreon page. We're gaining a few people there. It's pleasant to have a few people around, but there we go. So if you've enjoyed our ramblings today, don't forget to like it, subscribe to it, and share the podcast.